in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Please turn to it. I must of necessity concentrate on exactly what needs to be said from this chapter, because we can enlarge on this chapter to a degree that would keep us here for a long, long time. Now, there are 17 verses in this chapter, and I think maybe it'd be good for us to read them responsively. If you have your Bibles, I will read verse 1, and the congregation read verse number 2, and on through the chapter. This makes it more interesting for you as well as for myself. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And the serpent was cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Brother Henderson, pray and ask God's blessing on his word, please.
Lord, for your loving kindness, Lord, for your spirit of peace and kindness, Lord. God,
oh God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. I cannot possibly review the chronology of the book of Revelation, but I want to just say this, that this marvelous book is the only book that is set out in chronological order. The first chapter introduces that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ standing in the midst of the churches. Chapter 2 and 3 give the message to the 7 churches which were at that time in Asia, which speak of 7 periods of the church age, ending up with Laodicea, in which period we are, in spite of anything that anybody says, that's where we are. And, of course, those that are raptured are in the Philadelphian church, because that's a church of brotherly love, and that's a church that has not denied his name and has little strength. The Laodicean church will be spewing out of his mouth. That period is the period in which we live. Now, that doesn't mean we're in the Laodicean church that we have to be. We must be in the Philadelphian spirit if we are to be ready. Then the fourth and the fifth chapters are simply the exaltation of Jesus Christ as the only one worthy to break the seven seals of a scroll, a book, that is found at the right hand of the throne of God. And this book is the beginning of the end, for this scroll is that in which is revealed the secret that the day of his preparation has come upon the earth, and it begins, of course, with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in these latter days, and it ends up then with the seven seals broken, and also then, not only that, but the trumpets are sounded, and it brings you into the chronology of the book through the rapture, and then it brings you to the last, where the second woe comes, and it is about to be poured out. A third woe comes, and the seven angels have prepared to sound. They have seven angels that sounded, and there's a voice in heaven saying in verse 15 of the 11th chapter, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, this word takes you into the 12th chapter, and the temple is open in heaven, so the 12th chapter then is the beginning of a parenthesis describing not so much what is going on heaven as what will go on earth in the 12th, the 13th, and then the 14th chapters, and then the temple is opened in heaven again to carry on the chronology, which ends in verse 19 of the 11th chapter. And this parenthesis brings in a description of things, of course, in a symbolic way as well as in a literal way. And so we come with this message to you tonight. John writes here, there appeared a great wonder or a great sign in heaven. It was not a literal woman. The language is emphatic. The language is clear. One man wrote this, the Virgin Mary. She was not a sign. She was not a wonder. She was a literal virgin. So this is not Mary. It cannot be. This woman is a sign in heaven. The symbols are all there. It tells us actually who she is, if we care to find out. And she is clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet, and she had a crown of 12 stars. If you wish to know what this woman represents and what this sign means, this woman then is symbolically, not actually Israel, but symbolically Israel. If you care to, in Genesis 37 rather, verses 9 to 11, I read these words. And he dreamed yet another dream. This was Joseph. And told it his brethren. And said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Though the sun, the moon, 11 stars, made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father, to his brethren. And his father rebuked him. And said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Now this dream, of course, that Joseph had, tells us that this is a symbol of Israel. The sun, the moon, Israel, and also the mother, and then the 12 sons of Israel. This woman then is clothed with the sun, and she has the moon under her feet, the crown of 12 stars, which symbolizes Israel. Now, this Israel is symbolized because when you and I are born again, we're born into Israel. We're baptized into Israel. The promises of God are actually given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They rejected Jesus Christ. They were cut off, 11th chapter of Romans, and all are counted in unbelief. And everybody's counted unbelief, the Jew and the Gentile. Then the Gentile who believes and is baptized is grafted into Israel, the true olive tree, the wild branch into the true olive tree. And now, as long as this process goes on, the Jews can be grafted back in. But in the meantime, they're broken off. And we better fear lest we can be broken off. So, this is Israel. And this, then, speaks of a woman which is a symbol, a figure, a sign in heaven. And she is about to be delivered of a man-child. With child, travails in birth and pained to be delivered. Now, this brings two things to our minds. First, we turn to Isaiah 66, and we want to read a few verses here, because this speaks also of this same wonderful event that is going to transpire. And it reads like this in verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. You to tremble in his word. If you want to be in the rapture, this is your qualifications. You must have this spirit, this attitude toward God. Today we live in a time when a lot of people are not paying any attention to what the word says. They want what they want regardless of what the Bible says. But you hear the word of the Lord. This is a message to you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you. Your brethren that hated you. Other Christians that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake. Because you're baptized in the name of Jesus. They'll cast you out. They hate you and cast you out for his name's sake. Now you hear the word of the Lord. You obey the word. You tremble at his word. Your brethren that cast you out for my name's sake said, here's what they said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy. When he comes again, he shall appear to your joy and they shall be ashamed. In other words, it takes baptism in Jesus' name for the Lord to appear to your joy. This is what this is saying emphatically. Now, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple. You see, right into the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation now. A voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, this woman that's called Israel, this woman that's clothed with the sun, and this woman that has the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars, symbolically Israel, that Jerusalem which is above, she's the mother of us all, Paul wrote to the Galatian church. And so he said, before she travailed, she brought forth, before she pained, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. This is the man-child of Revelation 12. Who hath heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now this literally is going to happen when the church is born out of Israel. You see, you're baptized into Israel. Galatians 6:14 speaks of you as the Israel of God. You're born into her. And the writer of the Psalm says, it'll be said in that day, this or that man was born in her. You see, the new birth message is peculiarly our message. It's peculiarly our message. The new birth message is the kingdom message. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The new birth is peculiarly a kingdom message. Now, hear what I tell you. Not everyone says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. This company that tremble at his word, obey his word. If you tremble at the word, you obey the word. Amen. If you don't care what the Bible says, you're going to do what you please. You're not ready for the rapture. I might as well talk plain English. Because we're either going to make the rapture or going to tribulation. Going to make the rapture are going to the darkest hour of human history into tribulation. And Jesus made it clear He said, you pray that you will be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so, there it is. Now, before she travailed, she brought forth. And so, this then is the time of Jacob's trouble. This is what is called in the book of Jeremiah, a time or the time of Jacob's trouble. You turn to Jeremiah 30. I'm going to read it and look at this marvelous portion of Scripture. You see, when Zion travails, she's going to bring forth. But before she travailed, she brought forth her children who have heard of such things. But this grand event is about to transpire before Israel travails. Before the time of Jacob's trouble, the church will be born out of her and caught up into the clouds of glory. So you turn to Jeremiah 30 and 4 to 7 reads like this. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see the whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. You see, there's a day, Jesus said, of trouble such as was not since the beginning of the world. No, nor ever shall be. And here it is again. It's written there, for alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. What God is saying, when Zion does travail, when Zion travails, she'll bring forth her children. But before she travails, she's delivered of a man child. A nation is born at once. You see, you are a peculiar people. You're a holy nation, God says of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a nation of kings and priests. And before Zion goes into the time of Jacob's trouble to bring Israel back to travail, to the terrible day of wrath, she gives birth to a man child. She gives birth to a man child. Do you see what I'm preaching to you? You see what I'm bringing to you? This is that sign that John saw in the heaven above, that Jerusalem which is above. That's not the Jerusalem which is down here. This is Hagar. And she's in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above, she's the mother of us all. And so when we're born again, we're born into her. And before she travails for her natural children, then the nation is born at once. Praise the Lord. But the time of Jacob's trouble is about to come. And it is written there. And Jacob will be saved out of his trouble. And I'll not read too much there, but I'll read verse 8 and 9 also. For it shall come to pass, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, in that term, in that day, in most cases, back in these prophets, specifically testifies of the restoration of Israel, of which we're beginning to see a fulfillment. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king. Jesus is coming back and set on the throne of his father David, whom I will raise up unto them. And so, this woman then, being with child, came to be delivered, and she was delivered of a man child before her travail. Then the travail comes. Now, there appeared another wonder in heaven. And this other wonder is absolutely the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And he's like a great, portrayed as a great serpent. If he could, if the devil could, he'll destroy the church. His business is to destroy the church. If he could do it, he would do it. But Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Don't worry about the church. Don't worry about the church. You be concerned whether you're in it or not. But the church will make it. I said the church will make it. He's going to present the church to himself a holy people, a holy nation, without spot or wrinkle. Now, let me tell you this before I go further. This man-child, is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Who is that? Who is that man-child? Let me confirm it. Number one, first of all, we turn into the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, and it reads like this, beginning at verse 13. Well, I should read back a little bit because it's too good to leave out. Verse 11, I saw heaven open. This is the battle of Armageddon. This is the return of the Lord to the plains of Megiddo and to the valley of Armageddon. And there, he's going to come back to fight this battle. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The white horse is symbolic of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes was a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. I want to put mine there, don't you? And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Can you tell me who that is? Call his name. Hallelujah. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. If you want to be with him when he comes back to this earth again, you must have the Holy Ghost. That's what the white horse symbolizes. The Holy Ghost. Not only does he come back symbolically on the white horse, but the saints that are with him will come back on white horses. The power of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, this is not just talk. This is reality. I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm saying. All right. They're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Thank God. Somebody's going to be holy. Somebody's going to be pure. Somebody's washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody's going to be there when the end comes. Somebody's going to be living for God. Somebody's going to be in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he that treadeth the winepress, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. So he's coming back, and he's going to tread the nations in his anger, because the nations have turned against God. And if you don't believe the nations are turning against God today, you're not even reading the newspaper. And not only will he rule the nations with a rod of iron, but I want to read it back in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. Something else here that is pertinent and worthy of our reading it to the church at Thyatira. He says this, but not in verse 25 of the second chapter. but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a potter shall it be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Two things here. First, he will rule with a rod of iron. Second, the overcomer, the body of Christ, in other words, will rule with a rod of iron. He is the head of the body, the church. Amen. And this bondage man child then is the church, the body of Christ, born out of Israel. Praise the Lord. Spiritually, we're baptized into Israel. And we're in Israel today, but we'll be born out as the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord forever. And before she travails, she brings forth. Before she travails, in other words, to give birth to Israel as a nation, she's delivered of a man child, the overcomers, the church that, thank God, shall rule the nation with a rod of iron. Your kings and priests unto your God. Maybe I've got no business starting a sermon like this. Not in the short time you've got to preach here on Sunday night, or any other night for that matter. Well, but let me hasten on just a little bit. Now, this child is caught up unto God and to his throne. And I can tell you of no people but the church, which is the body of Christ, that will be caught up. If you want to be in it, you must be baptized into it by water and spirit. By water you're baptized into the death of Christ. That's where you put on the death of Christ. You rise to walk in newness of life. And by the Spirit, you're baptized into the living body of Christ. Praise the Lord. This is the plan. This is the provision of grace. So what about all these other people? Leave them in the hands of God. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we Jew or Gentile or bond or free. Emphatically, I want to tell you that the most important thing that can happen to you is for you to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. And then from then on, live in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Keep your eye upon the prize. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, then the woman, you see, the child was caught up to heaven, and the woman fled into the wilderness. She fled into the wilderness. And if you'll read, and I will not take time to read it that closely, in the sixth chapter, beginning verse 12, where the sixth seal is broken, that's where the church is evidently raptured. Because under the breaking of the sixth seal, there are some things that happen. Number one, the mountains shake. Islands are moved out of their place. Men will cry to the rocks of the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sit on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, the same chapter 7, verse 9, it's still under the breaking of the sixth seal. There stands a multitude of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation before the throne of God. Pray that you will be accounted worthy. Amen. To escape these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Oh, I believe what I'm telling you. But when the church is raptured, the first part of the seventh chapter up to the eighth verse tells you of the sealing of 144,000 Israelites. 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000, the tribes are named. You don't have to guess who they are. They're not Gentiles. That's not the church. That's after the church is caught away. It's after the man-child is born. And then you go to the time of Jacob's trouble. And then she travails for her children. but they're God's shields. 144,000. He started the nation of Israel with 12 men. Amen? He did it or not? He started the church with 12 apostles. Hallelujah to God. And then when he did, and finally he laid the foundation, and then he multiplied it 10 times and got 120 in the upper room. And God bless your heart when he finishes the church and he catches her away to meet him in the clouds of glory. Or the man child, if you want me to say it that way. To meet him in the clouds of glory. He's going to start with 12 times 12,000. Hallelujah. And restore Israel again. And that'll be the time of Jacob's trouble. But these 144,000, the devil will never touch them. They're going to be hidden away. They're going to be protected by God. During the time of Jacob's trouble, during all that time, when Israel is going through the most devastating experience that any nation ever went through, when they're going to be seemingly annihilated, and except their faith should be shortened, there would not be any flesh remain alive. But for the sake of those Jews, God is going to shorten those days. He's going to shorten those days. Friends, we're headed that way. That's why Israel is where she is. That's why she's surrounded with all this trouble. That's why all this fulfillment. You ought to get the message I preached, was it 2 weeks ago, on the restoration of Israel. You ought to get that if you haven't heard it. This is related to what I'm telling you tonight. The restoration of Israel. It's related together. It can't be separated. You've got to have these things in your heart and mind if you are to understand. And so she goes, she flees to the wilderness. She is kept there, if you please, for 3.5 years. Daniel even spoke about that. He even asked how long it would be. He would have some questions in his mind. And he said, verse 6 of the 12th chapter of Daniel, and this is the day that he's talking about. One said unto, and one said to the man clothed with linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand under the heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, another 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all of these things shall be finished. In other words, God is telling Daniel here, it'll be 3.5 years. If you read the first part, there's going to be a resurrection. Some will come up and live gloriously. And it'll be 3.5 years, according to Daniel. According to this, they'll be preserved in the wilderness. God be dealing with the nation. During that time, two witnesses will testify in the streets of Jerusalem. Friend, we are headed for the grandest and greatest and most terrible and most wonderful event in all of human history. The main thing is, Lord, I want to be ready when the trumpet sounds.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to be ready when the trumpet sounds. Somebody says, oh, brother, do I need the Holy Ghost? If I could say it the way it ought to be said, you need the Holy Ghost more than you need breath. You need the Holy Ghost more than you need a home, or a job, or money, or clothes, or car, or friends. You need the Holy Ghost more than any human friendship or relationship. You need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah. I want you to know there's 10 virgins in the parable. I want you to know there's 10 virgins. They were all virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. There's only one distinction between them. They were all virgins. They were all Christians. They were all waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were all there. They all slumbered in sweat. Am I telling you right? What the wise had oil in the vessels with their lamps. They had the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. They had the Spirit of God filling this earthen temple. The others only had attacks of the Spirit. They didn't have the extra supply. And they ran out. And when the midnight cry came, and brother, it's 5 minutes to midnight.
Amen.
It's 5 minutes to midnight. When the midnight cry came, behold, the bridegroom cometh. But the foolish had dry lamps. Come on, come on. No dry experience will take you into rapture. You've got to have a living Holy Ghost experience. You've got to have an extra supply of oil. Come on. Go ahead, strike with the denomination. Come on with the Trinitarian. Go ahead. But you're not being that number when the saints go marching in. Go ahead. Watch your TV. Play with your souls. Go ahead. Play away your time. Pull it away. But you'll not be there unless you've got that extra supply. My servants have fled. Their hearts have been broken over the resistance. Men have followed traditions. They've followed their own willful way. They've refused to listen to my spirit. But my warning shall soon end. And then behold, I will come again and receive them that tremble at my word, as you have heard tonight. Therefore, yield ye yourselves and obey the spirit and the word, and be filled with the Spirit of God, that you may be ready. Let's worship God.
Hallelujah.
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 Oh God. Now, but there's war in heaven. The devil tried to destroy this man-child who was born. If the devil could, he'd block the church from being raptured. But you see, when Jesus rose again, he took the power of death from the devil. He said, behold, I am he that was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell. So the devil can't stop it. He can't hold us in the grave. He can't hold us in this body. He can't keep us. The only thing he can do is to deceive you.
That's right.
If he can deceive you into thinking that you don't need the Holy Ghost, he's got you.
That's right.
If he can deceive you into thinking you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name, he's got you. If he can deceive you into thinking you can live a worldly life, he's got you.
Amen.
He's got you. If he can deceive you into believing that it's all right for you to be self-willed and strong-headed, he's got you. He's got you. He's deceived. He'll keep you out of the rapture. But I stand to tell you again, one more time, I stand to tell you again, he's going to have a church without spot. He's going to have a church without wrinkle. He's going to have a church that responds to his spirit. A church that's full of the Holy Ghost. A church that has spoken with the languages of heaven and of men. He's going to have a church that's full of the Holy Ghost. A church that's baptized in his
name. The prisoners cast him out for his name's sake. And they said, praise the Lord, we finally got rid of those Jesus name one God people. For he'll appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. If I could find more than one God in this Bible, I'd worship one. But I can't find but one God in the Bible. If I could find where anybody in the Bible ever baptized in a Trinity formula, I'd baptize that way. But it's not there. It is just not in the Bible. If I could find the word Trinity or three persons in the Godhead in this book, I would preach it. But it's not in the book. It's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it's in the Nicene Creed. And the preachers preach it out all over the world. But it's not in the Bible. Hear, O Israel! God, thy God, is one Lord. Praise the Lord. It don't make any difference. It makes the difference between truth and error. It makes the difference between truth and error. It makes the difference between truth and tradition. All right. You folks want me to keep on preaching?
Amen.
Now, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And the devil prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. You see, the devil still goes up before God and accuses you of things you haven't done. You see, just like he did with Job. The sons of God refers to the angels in the book of Job. They came up one day, and Satan came also. The devil came too. Satan came also. And God said, where'd you come from? He said, going to and fro in the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? I can look at you, the devil, kind of back up a little bit. Yeah, sure. But you got heads around him. They accused God. Said, you got heads around him. You take that heads down and I'll make him curse you. God said, all right, devil, I'm going to take the heads down, but you can't touch him. And brother, he cleaned his house. He took his family. He took his wealth. He took his servants. He took his home. He took everything that he had but his wife. Everything else. But he never touched Job. So after a while, then later, they had another meeting. The devil came again. And Job, everything gone, he said, naked I came into the world, and I'm going out naked. What difference does it make? He said, it don't make any difference anyhow. And so he came up, and the Lord said, well, Satan, where'd you come from? You're going to and fro in the earth. You consider my servant Job a just and upright and a perfect man? Though you made me turn me against him and let me, he hasn't cursed me. He said, look, skin for skin, everything a man gives, has he to give for his life. You let me touch him and he'll curse you. He said, all right, devil, you can do everything you can to, but you can't kill him. And Michael fought and Michael won. Thank God. The dragon was cast out of heaven. His place was not found there anymore. Then there came a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation, at long last it has come, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. When the rapture takes place, then the kingdom of God will have come. Today the kingdom of God is within you.
Then he prepared to set up the kingdom on earth. You see? So now has come salvation. Finally, when this body is changed, when this mortal puts on immortality, when we shall be raised from the dead if we're in the grave, when finally the resurrection day comes and we're in the first resurrection, you're going to say, well, praise God, at last I got all the salvation he bought for me at Calvary and made possible through the resurrection. You and I have the salvation, but listen, you've only got the earnest of it. You see, the Baptists and the Calvinists try to tell you your eternal is secure because they don't know that you've only got the trial. You're in a state of trial. You haven't got it all, and I haven't got it all. But glory to God, they that endure until the end the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. But how are you going to overcome the devil? You see, you've got to overcome the devil if you're going to reign with Christ. He's not going to take something unproven and make him king. He's not going to take an untried people and give them the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The meek shall inherit the earth. Come on now. Who? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I'm also overcome. No, how will you get there? How did you overcome the devil? Well, there it is. It's written in the book. It's written in the book, verse 11. And they overcame him. And they overcame him. The ones that said, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of Christ. For the accuser, the devil, the accuser of our brother is cast out, and he accuses you day and night. He comes to you and he troubles you. He tells you don't think you're fat for it. He's a liar. He tells you this life is better than that. He's a liar. He tells you can't make it. He's a liar. He tells you can't live holy. He's a liar. He tells you can't to heal. He's a liar. Hallelujah. He tells that preacher to know what he's talking about. He's a liar. Hallelujah. You think at 73 I'll be that in a couple of days? Do you think for a minute I'd stand up here and lie to you? You think I'd go through the valley of the shadow of death? And doctors said to thought that they lost me and I died four times. And you think after that experience I'd stand up here and lie to you? But I'd be a fool if I did. I'm going to tell you. Because one of these days, I'm going to take one more step. One more step. And that'll be it. God bless your heart. I'm going to tell you the truth like it is. There's a God that loves you. There's a God whose blood flowed from the wounded side of Calvary's lion. Glory to God. And you can overcome the devil by the blood of the lamb and the word of your testimony. Let you run the aisles if you want me to. But you're not going to stop me from preaching. You're not going to silence this life. There's a devil, and I'm going to conquer him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to help him. It's marvelous. Forgive me, Lord, I prayed in vain that you would spare me grief and pain. But now my blinded eyes can see these things were best for me. They're better for you, too. Oh, what joy. The young people have prayed through. You ought to breathe the prayer of thanksgiving. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I love you. Because you loved me so much that you brought me back and you took me in. And you're going to hear if you don't have the Holy Ghost.
and lift your hands to God. To God. And I thank you that you brought me here tonight to hear the voice of prophecy speak one more time. Never came. That's how you get there. That's how you get there. You won't make it any other way but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Somebody said, it's not worth it. Oh, my. 5 minutes after your latest breath has been drawn, you'd give 10 million worlds and lives like this just to hear him say, well done. Just to hear him say, well done. But I say, well, you Pentecostal people are extravagant with your emotionalism and your shouting. All right. You wish you had an extravagant people like this to shout with you when you get over yonder. Amen. This is the quietest world you'll ever be in, friend. If you go to hell, there'll be screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you make your heaven your home, glory to God, I'm going to join the crowd. We're going to make all hell ring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Might as well practice and enjoy it now. Come on. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. And because of this, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And then he said another thing. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because there are going to be some people, a lot of people left behind. And of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And then, of course, he's going to try to persecute this woman, Israel. He's going to try to destroy her. And because he can't destroy her, he's going to fight against those that have the testimony of Jesus, because somebody said, will people be saved after the church is raptured? Yes, sir. It is evident in all the Bible there's still going to be some people that are going to turn to Jesus Christ, because the day of mercy will not be shut. But I'm going to tell you something else. A person that can't make it now will never make it then. If you can't go with a footman, what are you going to do with a horseman? And if you can't go now when the waters are low, what are you going to do at the swelling of Jordan? If you can't make it now, if you can't make it now with a church to help you, with preachers to help you, what are you going to do when the devil comes down with great wrath because he's only got 3.5 years? You'll never make it. You'll never make it. But then will come the time of Jacob's trouble, and Israel will travail in pain to be delivered. Praise God forever. Oh, 1 hour is enough. 1 hour is enough. I burned a lot of oil here tonight. You don't know it, but there's been more energy spent in this pulpit than some of you fine people working all week will spend. It'll take you a whole week's work to spend as much energy as is burned up in this pulpit tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Somehow, I feel God is speaking to somebody here. It's no time to back away. It's time to deny yourself, take up your cross. Repent of your sin.
Praise the Lord.
Don't ever forget, friend, the words of Jesus Christ to these. If you want to know why he died and rose again, and why what we are to preach is the result, the words of Jesus Christ to these in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, verse 47, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins
should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, the second chapter of Acts.
The Lord.
This is an Acts 2 apostolic church.
Praise the Lord.
This is what we believe and practice, and we're looking for the fulfillment of that which we have only the earnest of, and the fullness is coming, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9 and verse 10. Remember, you're complete in him.
Amen.
Which is the head of all principality and power. And so if you want to be complete, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Let him baptize you with the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And walk and live in the Spirit, that you might be rapture ready. Shall we stand? You want the Holy Ghost? Come on. You want to repent? Come on to the altar. Come right on.
The clouds of heaven.
Come right on.
I shall come to earth again.
You want God to
fill the world. Be glad to see
him. Won't you come tonight?
When our Lord
come right on.
Come again.
Just come right on. Just come right on.
Come right on. There'll be prayer.